The song is an invitation to the table, and the table is the promise of so much more. This table is the promise for us of the presence of a person with us. It's the promise of the presence of a person, namely Jesus with us and us with him. It's the promise of the presence of the person of Jesus with us for all eternity. That's what this table is the foretaste of. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, if you're grabbing one of those black pew Bibles, you'll find John 14 on page 1146. John 14, and in John 14, this is the last night of Jesus' life. This is just after he shared this for the first time with his followers, with his disciples. John 14, Jesus says this to his disciples there in the upper room, "Let not your hearts be troubled." But they had every reason for their hearts to be troubled. You see, this wasn't just any night. His disciples had spent a lot of time with Jesus over these past several years. They had seen him in some really tough situations, and they certainly had plenty of joyful times with him, but nothing was like this night. This night was different. They had just gathered together in the room where Jesus had sent them ahead to prepare the meal. They had just gathered together, and Jesus began by washing their feet, John 13 tells us. They share a meal, and as a part of that meal, they take what we're about to take, what we now know as the Lord's Supper or communion, and Jesus fills these things, the bread and the cup, full of meaning, and he's speaking of his body being broken. He's speaking of his blood being poured out. He's speaking of a new covenant. Things are different on this night. Jesus has told them that one of them will betray him. And Judas has left the room now to do his evil deed. Jesus has told them not only will one of them betray him, but another, specifically their leader, will himself deny Jesus three times. Their confidence is shaken. Jesus has told them that he's going to go away and they can't follow him yet. And all of these things are in their head when he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Some of us in this room this morning just simply need to remember that when everything around us is in chaos and when the world as we know it seems to be falling down, there is peace. There's peace as we trust in God. There's peace as we believe in God and we believe in Christ. And then he's going to give two promises. Jesus is going to give two promises in these next two verses, and we celebrate the first promise, and we should. We should sing about this first promise that he makes, and we should celebrate this first promise that he makes, and we should look forward to this first promise that he makes, but it's the second promise that makes the first promise worth something. It's the second promise that he makes that makes the first promise mean something. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. In my Father's house are many rooms. You may read many mansions." We sing about and we look forward to us being in the Father's house, our mansion in glory. We should celebrate that. But Jesus here in John 14 wants to shift our focus from a place to a person. Did you see that? Yes, know the place. know what's to come. But he's shifting our focus. What makes heaven heaven? What makes heaven heaven? That's the question I ask in our prayer gathering on Wednesday night. What makes heaven heaven? Is it the streets of gold? Is it the mansion in glory? Is it being with loved ones? All of those things are wonderful. And all of those things would be hell if Jesus wasn't there. What makes heaven heaven is the presence of Christ. What makes heaven heaven is that we get to be with God. You see the same thing in Revelation 21 and Revelation 22. There is this focus on what's to come, but every time he drives straight to the dwelling place of God is with man, and they will see his face. What Jesus purchased for us in his death, burial, and resurrection, that which we receive by faith, what he purchased for us is that we get eternal life with God. That we get to be with Christ. He says in verse 3, if I go away, I will come again and I will take you to myself. He's shifting us from focusing on the place to focusing on the person. We get to be with Jesus. We get to be with Jesus. And he wants us. He wants us to join him there. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Before we come to this table together this morning, we need to see that this invitation to enjoy this as we look forward to that day, this invitation here and the invitation for us to join him one day, that invitation is not based on our performance, it's based on his promise. You see, he didn't say, no one can come to the Father except through good works. And he didn't say, no one can come to the Father unless they try really hard, and no one can come to the Father unless they mean really well, or no one can come to the Father unless their good outweighs their bad. He didn't say any of those things. He said, no one can come to the Father except through me. I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus said, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And he backs that up in two ways. If you just follow the argument really back from John chapter 13, verse 33 and forward, Jesus tells them in verse 33, he says, yet a little while I am with you, you'll seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. They know Jesus is going away. So now this is the question. This is the question for them. 13:36, Peter says, Lord, where are you going? Where are you going? 14, verse 5, Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We want to go with you. We don't know where you're going. Tell us the way. Verse 8 of chapter 14, Philip finally just says, Lord, just show us the Father and it's enough. Just show us the Father and it's enough. And Jesus' whole point in the verses that follow is if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. This whole point is this union between Christ and the Father, God the Son and God the Father. He says in verse 9, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Do you not believe, verse 10, do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? Jesus says he is the only way because he is God on earth. He's God's Son. He's God in the flesh. He's God here. And so there's no other way except through the way that God appointed. And the way that God appointed was through the death of Christ on our behalf. None of us deserve to come to this. None of us deserve to go to heaven. No one in this room no one in this room has anything to stand before God and boast about as if we can earn right standing with God. No, that's a gift. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And over and over and over again in this gospel, the way we receive this gift, believe, believe, believe. Do you believe? Do you trust? Do you trust that Christ is the way and the only way? Do you trust in his death, burial, and resurrection for your sins? Have you given your life and faith to follow him as your Lord and Savior? If so, this table is for you. This table is for you. And we take this looking forward to the day when we'll see him face to face. At Mountain Creek, our table is open to all baptized believers who are in good standing with the local Bible-believing church. You're welcome to take this table. You're welcome to take the bread and the cup in just a moment. If that's not you, someone who doesn't know Christ, you're not in good standing with a local church, you're walking apart from Jesus and apart from his ways, it's okay to pass this plate. It's okay. If you want to talk more about that, you have questions about what it means to follow Jesus, and you want to take this with us next time, I would love to talk with you today. I'd love to answer your questions and show you how Christ came to be your Savior too, how you can receive forgiveness of sins and have life forever with him. We're going to enjoy communion together this morning as a part of our worship service. Let's do this looking forward to the day when we'll see him face to face, and we'll sit around the table together worshiping Christ. At this time, let me ask our deacons to come forward to prepare the table.